Suchi boy. You must have met Doc Ellis somewhere along the way, didn't
I think
you?
So.
Doc
yeah.
Ellis, a yeah. Pittsburgh pitcher. I actually, after he got sober later in life and became kind of a, you know, he was big in AA and he was big in trying to get people off drugs and stuff, but he ended up dying of cirrhosis anyway because he drank so much. But I got to talk to him once, and that's when he told me how he used to come up to Minnesota in the winter and rent a fish house out at Minnetonka, and then he drew drugs for like a week, and nobody buys it. It's great. You got these little houses out there on the ice, and
nobody comes
you.
Over and sees you.
No, nobody bothers you. But it was June 12th, 1970, that he pitched his no-hitter.
Okay.
And the he always has claimed he was high on LSD.
That's
when he when he pitched it. So the Guardian, of all things, has a great piece on this, reviewing it. And he they were in San Diego, and he went to see one of his friend's girlfriends the night before. I don't know what was going on there, but he dropped some acid and he timed the hit for when he got to the place, right?
Right.
And then they drank all night and took more acid, and then the friend comes back and says, hey, Doc, I just looked in the paper. There's a doubleheader tonight, and you're pitching the first game at 6 o'clock, you know, in San Diego, or 5 o'clock. So he says, what? What? He says, what happened to yesterday? He thought it was still Friday, not Saturday, because he'd taken so many
what
drugs.
What happened to yesterday?
But, I mean, he was a great BSer. But he told in his retelling of this later, he said, there was a point when I thought Richard Nixon was the plate umpire.
Holy mackerel.
And then he said, one time Jimi Hendrix came to the plate with a guitar.
Oh, you my know? God.
He hit two people. He walked eight. He apparently they made some great plays for him, the Pirates behind him. And God knows how many pitches he threw with eight walks and stuff, but he went nine innings. He started the All-Star game the next year, 71. Yeah, yeah. He was a 25-year-old kid then, but God, he was crazy. It's just a, you know, I love the.
What's the documentary on him? John Heitz recommended it a bunch.
Oh, I did watch it, yeah.
And he said it's fantastic.
Yeah, it is, because he really was a good guy. He was a big in trying to expose baseball.
Are you having some gas attacks?
No, I think I might have had a. That's the only Diet Coke I've had since I got here today.
Really?
At 11:30, so I'm pretty proud. Well, it couldn't be more than.
Maybe that's why
ounces.
You're behind. Your body's behind schedule.
That could be. Anyway, yeah, it was. He was really a good guy when I talked to him like once when he was playing, but this was afterwards. I think he was in town for a big AA function or something like. But he died in his 50s of cirrhosis.
I got a note from Brian Lee, who has a Bud Grant story for us.
All right, does this involve Bud's love of money or something else? Okay.
Hearing you and Patrick talking about Bud's idiosyncrasies.
Yes.
I worked on the grounds crew 1975 to 1980 at Met Stadium.
Oh, wow. What a job.
Our first break in the morning was at 9 a.m. We took our break in the shop, which was in the tunnel area under the third base side. One day I was walking to break at the same time Bud was walking to the twins room where the defense met for meetings. I said hi to Bud. As I walked by him, he stared at me and said nothing. The next day, the same scenario occurred, and I said hi, and again, he said nothing. The next day, I was like, the heck with it, and I walked right by him. After a few seconds, Bud said, what, no hello? Every day after, I said hi, and he never said another word to me.
Oh, yeah, we've told it 50 times, but we did that yesterday.
Oh, that's such a great line.
Frito-Lay, I think, was the first
with
sponsor.
The sponsor?
First sponsor of Lynn's first sponsor.
Yeah.
And he had all the Frito-Lay guys down there for a day of training camp, and they had a little reception for him, I think, right there at Gage Hall.
Yeah.
And Bud came in, and he glad-handed everybody and met him and for Lynn, and the next morning, and they let the guy, the Yahoo, stay there someplace. And the next morning, Bud's walking down to have breakfast. And hey, some guy who met him the night before goes, hey, Bud. And Bud looks at his hand and says, we did that yesterday.
Oh, my God.
There was an official team function. Okay, but yeah. We're not going to be sitting out here BSing with some guy in the hallway.
Was that just a means of he wanted it? That level of professionalism, or he just wanted to distance himself from the locals?
He was going to do that function that he had to do, but Bud's time was very valuable to Bud. He was not, you know, Bud was, he had to do his hunting and his fishing and his family stuff and all that. And, you know, Bud might be the last of the football coaches that was home for dinner.
Right.
You know,
sure.
And of course, you know, they built the Vikings moved to Winter Park, and Bud lived 5 minutes away over there in Anderson Lake. So
yesterday there was a great interview during the Canadian Open with Jay Monahan.
Oh, okay. I wish I'd seen that.
I think it was Jim Nantz interview. Yeah. It was a pretty good interview. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot about this LIV deal.
Yes.
Do you know that those same guys will just keep playing each other?
Yes.
Well, yeah. that's not a golf league. That's just a circus act.
Yeah, it's there's 48. They're going to limit it to 48, right?
Yeah, and look what Schorsel won yesterday for first prize, $4 million.
And then he got another $750 because he was on the winning team.
What a bunch of BS.
Yeah, but they're just going to end up playing each other. You're right. Yeah, there's 48 guys. And I don't know if somebody doesn't make it. Does somebody, you know, it's... I never occurred to me, but yeah, if you're in.
Monahan said, when's the last, and he brings up 9/11 and, you know, the Saudis were behind that. And he said, when's the last time anybody on the PGA ever had to apologize for playing on the PGA?
Yeah.
I think it's an outrage these guys did that split.
Yeah, yeah, I wonder.
It's all money. They just took the money.
At this point, nobody's put them on TV, right? Aren't they on streaming? They're on something.
I don't know.
But it's you know, I have streaming and I have because of the bride, I have every app known to man, and it wasn't on any of those, so I don't know where if you wanted to watch it. Apparently the crowd wasn't very good.
No, and then the first thing McIlroy said after he won yesterday was, this was really important because I've got 21 victories now, and that's one more than Norman.
Yes, that is. That
wow.
Is. Yeah. Yeah, that was, he stuck it to him right now. I wonder what, but it's all, you know, with Norman, it's all about what are they giving him. They probably gave him $100 million to
put the thing together.
To put in his own pocket.
I can't take it seriously.
No, it's the Saudi... and by the way, every time we go to the gas pump, we're helping to pay for the LIV purse, right?
Right.
That's, I mean, it's, yeah, it's, I hope people continue to have no interest in it. But you know what? It's really going to hurt. It's not going to hurt the big story at the U.S. Open this week becomes these guys, right?
That's right.
Yeah, it's all these guys that played in it. And but the three of them, the weekly event, that of those 48 guys, Hollis probably would have had 15 of them, you know, here, and he won't have them at the
PGA.
Yes, yeah, they're no longer.
Will they lift those suspensions?
Those guys.
Monahan was PO'd.
Most of them resigned, so they couldn't be. So then they resigned. So then there was no formal suspension of them. They just they're just not members anymore, so they don't get to play.
Would there be a difference in somebody like Graham McDowell, who has no definitive American allegiance?
Well, I think he's a PGA member.
He is a PGA member
because he plays a lot there. Yeah. And you know, they're playing for the money. There's nothing that will happen to their legacy as great golfers that happens here, right? Nothing in these tournaments will add to their legacy as great golfers.
Johnson has become a non-factor.
Yes, and unless he comes and wins. But the big rivalry is going to be now when one of those guys wins a Open, if DeChambeau wins the Open or something like that, right? You knew that knothead was going to go.
He took it, huh? Patrick
Reed took it, too. But DeChambeau didn't play this week because I think he pledged it late. Kevin Na, who gives a damn about
Did
Kevin
Fowler
Na?
Join up?
No.
Oh.
No, not yet. But who knows?
Yeah.
That kind of
joke.
Money. Yeah, it is. It is. It's
now this is U.S. Open week.
Yes,
we're going to Brookline.
Yes,
the country club.
We are.
And all those guys, if they're eligible, they will be able to play at Brookline.
Yeah, the USGA, there's not a major that they can't. Well, no.
What about the Masters?
The Masters, they can. That's not a PGA event. That's an
what is it?
Independent event. Masters.
All right.
The Masters. The PGA is run by the PGA of America.
Right.
The club pros, not the so. I suppose they could ban them if they wanted to, but right. I don't think they will.
I wonder what LIV stands for. I wonder what it means.
It's an acronym for...
is it like Roman numerals when we do a Super
that's
Bowl?
That's what it is. That's what it
yeah.
is. It's 40.
Well, bleep
is that, is that? Is that? I don't know. What
I don't know.
I don't, I'm
and it
not
will
sure.
be easy to continue to have no interest in them if they're never on TV. So
yes. Yes. And but you're right. It's like... Okay, which one of these guys won this week?
Yeah,
I mean, but you're not going to have John Daly coming out of nowhere and waving a towel and winning the tournament.
McIlroy wins the Canadian Open, gets 1 point something, and Schwartzel mm-hmm. wins this made up yeah. fake crap and gets over $4 million.
Yeah, and that's you're going to find out who you know Dustin Johnson and DeChambeau, and they don't need the money; they just want the money.
Have it, by the way, here. The name LIV is a reference to the Roman numeral for 54. The score, if every hole on a par 72 course were birdied, and the number of holes to be played at LIV events.
Yes, 54. That's what I said.
So answer me this.
I would not have passed the L1V being 54, though. My Roman numerals have never been strong.
You're good at math, but just not
well, now that you tell me it's a Roman numeral, I would have got it. L is 50, and then the 1 is minus 5 or 54.
It's 54.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. What's the difference between, I didn't know this, that the majors were not PGA. What's the difference?
USGA. No, United States Golf Association.
Okay, gotcha.
The United States Golf, that's mostly the amateur golf, but it's
the U.S. Open is USGA.
Got it. Okay.
United States Golf Association, and they have not taken any action here. They don't want to get sued.
What will the Brits do? Will they let them play the Open?
The British Open is run by the
Royal
and Ancient. They don't run the European Tour, so they'll let them play. I would think they'll let them play. And, you know, it's certainly going to add a little element to those major tournaments. These, you know, it's going to be like, oh, we're, you know, they're waiting to win one so they can say, see, we got the best players in the world playing for the glory of Saudi Arabia.
I bet the LIV players are going to be ostracized. McIlroy's already sending a signal. He wants no part of it.
Yeah, that's true. They won't be buddied up. I am not surprised Dustin Johnson, though. Because
there's not much going on up there.
There's nothing going. Just go for the money, you know. And DeChambeau, not at all. I'm sure he just wanted the attention.
But right.
I don't know. What Monahan say about letting him back?
He stopped just short of saying never. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be lawsuits if it comes to that.
Yeah.
I don't know on what grounds the players would have to sue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to. I don't know, some kind of an antitrust thing.
Well, what would this be the equivalent to? Would this be the equivalent of an NFL player going to play for the XFL?
No, I don't think so, because it's team sports. This is individual sports,
okay.
too. The element...
It'd be like if the Saudis started a football league and Brady went to it.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's... but the... This team element they threw in there is really stupid. Nobody knows what the hell that's about. Is that to promote camaraderie or to make you think you're watching the Ryder Cup or something?
I don't like the whole deal.
Yeah.
Did they really offer Tiger $2
billion? I read $1
billion. Oh.
To do what? To play?
To go to LIV. To be in LIV.
Oh. Well, he can't even
move.
Can't even go play at the... You know, the Open, he had to pass in the Open.
Oh, I didn't know that. He did pass in the Open this year?
He's not playing.
Really?
Yeah. He'll play St. Andrews.
So he's skipping the country club in Brookline.
Yeah. I think he was a mess after the Southern Hills. He should have never went there. He should have never went there.
Well, it's too hot and it's too hilly.
Yeah. The country club, though, terrible place for a major golf tournament if you want to put people out there. The tees are like country clubs here, like Minnetonka. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, the greens and the tees are right close next to each other. They might have moved them a little bit to do something, but that's where I covered the Ryder Cup, where the U.S. team made complete jackasses.
It hasn't
out of
been there. The Open hasn't been there since '88. That would have been Curtis Strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't he win back-to-back U.S. Opens?
Yeah.
I think there and in Rochester, New York.
And they got, why did they get the Ryder Cup? I don't think they'd ever had the PGA, did they? I don't think they played the PGA there. I wonder, I guess they just wanted to go to some ancient. What is it? It's supposed to be the original, like the first or something? One of the first, right?
Yeah.
It smells like money there, I know that.
Oh, it must.
Money's going there.
I don't like waiting until 9:15 tonight for the first pitch. Let's go.
Yeah, well.
On the weekends, I like a West Coast road trip.
You know, I'm kind of in favor of having a country have one time. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, who cares where the sun is?
The best thing baseball did recently, by the way, was the weeknight 6:40 start.
Yes.
Maker 6 o'clock. Let's go.
A lot of them are doing 6:40 now. That's good. Although the other night, Friday, I didn't know if we were ever going to end. That thing was, what? 325, something
like
that.
We played an 11-inning amateur baseball game Friday night that started at 7:30.
And you were done at 9:40.
Well, when I got in my vehicle, I was still listening to the post-game show.
Okay.
On Friday night. Yes.
Yeah. There were some long games this weekend. Well, you play the Yankees, they're always.
That's true.
The Yankees won't swing the bats.
So
the Yankees are waiting for that pitch right now.
We were mentioning that they have a great documentary on Doc Ellis. You know who they're not going to make a documentary on?
Hmm.
Cole Bleeping Sands.
Really?
What are we doing?
I was talking about that today. This was when the wave of young developed pitching. I mean, you can't count Joe Ryan because you traded for him. But we were supposed to be getting the wave.
Yep, here we go.
Where the hell's the wave?
Where's the wave?
Bailey Ober's the wave, and he got, he's been on the DL twice. So, by the way, another thing that really bothers me, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
We got the injured list now instead of the disabled list.
Oh.
Disabled list was good enough for 100 years, right?
It's too offensive now. It's too offensive.
To who?
To the disabled.
Because we're not taking...
Is that why they changed it?
Yeah, we're not taking disablement seriously enough.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't know. You didn't know that.
I did not know that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're injured. But I always still use DL on Twitter just so people can respond.
You're outdated.
Yes.
Why don't you retire?
There is really this new element of twins...
Offenses.
Twins lovers that are happy. But here's what I hate, Joe. Here's what got me going this weekend. And they won the game. Saturday, I was at the game, and Katie's godson bid for a suite through Habitat for Humanity. And Chris Coleman was there. He's the head of that. And, and he got a bunch of family members there. It was fine. They had a bunch of cute little kids running around and stuff. And so Arise hits the Grand Slam. Everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get to the late in the game, and they're ahead 6-5, and Correa's not playing and Buxton's not playing. Saturday, neither of them. The scheduled rest days.
Mm-hmm.
Why we have one, I guess we can explain Buxton.
You're trying to get 100 games out of him.
We can't explain Correa.
I don't understand.
No. You're paying him $36 million, and he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Play him till he can't move.
They should be doing to him what the Cubs did with Aroldis Chapman when they went to the World Series.
Or what the Brewers did with CC Sabathia.
Get your ass out there and play.
You only throwing 140 pitches today, CC, waddle out there and throw another inning. So Correa is now getting, they somehow, the big Alec, what do you call it? Algorithm. What the hell?
Algorithm.
The big algorithm they have. Twice, Correa and Buxton have not played on the same day.
That is just moronic.
So, but here's the deal. Nick Gordon hurts himself. Probably playing shortstop because he's terrible. But anyway, he hurts himself. So You need a shortstop for the ninth inning, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have maybe the best shortstop in baseball sitting in the dugout. Instead, you take Polanco off second and put him to short where he's half as good as he is at second. You take Arise and put him at second. Take him off first, and then you get that complete stiff Miranda to play first base. Somebody, I was ripping Miranda, and somebody said they should read the Miranda rights to the fans when they put this guy at first base, you know. And, rather than send Correa out there and tell him to play the top of the ninth inning and win the game.
Yes, one inning.
One inning. And I heard Corey and Gladden saying, well, they're going to have to use their best defense in the ninth inning with a run lead, aren't they? And then they had to come back and
say,
they
come in with the worst possible infield
lineup. Gladden said, well, I don't know. He's still leaning on the fence down there, you know, Correa meaning.
But they pulled that game out.
They did, only because nobody hit a ball to Miranda.
Right.
Yeah, he is not a good fielder.
He's a hack. He is a hack. Why are we
giving Correa days off?
I don't know. Correa, he's...
Does he have a history like Buxton of being hurt?
Well, he was just on the IL.
Yeah.
But that was for COVID, I believe.
That was for... Was it COVID?
I thought so.
I can't remember what it was. Plus, their COVID with Joe Ryan. He missed like 2 weeks. How can you miss 2 weeks with COVID? You don't have COVID for 2 weeks. He's driving around town, I heard, hanging out, looking for, you know, he's on active on social media looking for stuff to do.
By the way, speaking of CC, have you seen his bit that he does for MLB Network?
I bet it's pretty good.
So it's him. I don't know who the actual broadcaster is. And then there's another, and they'll watch a game in somebody's living room, or maybe it's in a broadcast studio. And instead of you hearing a regular play-by-play guy and a color commentary, you just listen to them BS with each other. It's pretty good.
Oh, he's a character.
I've caught it a couple times. It's pretty good.
He is a really nice guy. Remember how the Twins hated him?
Well, he didn't like the Twins, too, right? Because they would bunt on him or something?
They would bunt on him.
Yeah.
He hit Herbie once, too, right? Didn't he throw it at Herbie?
No, not Herbeck. He hit
a Herbeck?
No, he didn't like Go-Go, and he didn't like... Who was the other guy he didn't like?
No, but he threw at somebody, and we got all worked up about it, too.
I can't remember who it was.
Couldn't have been Herbie. It was after Herbie. Yeah, what the hell am I thinking of? Maybe Morneau or Maurer.
I can't remember.
I don't know. But he's a character.
You like the Tampa-Colorado matchup?
No, I was rooting
what
for the
What happened
Rangers.
To your Rangers,
I was
by the
rooting
way.
For the Rangers.
They looked horrible yesterday.
Well, they lost the last four, right? They were up 2-0.
Yeah, they were.
They were up 2-0 and lost four straight.
Tampa, amazing story. That team they had that scored more goals than any team since Edmonton, basically, got swept in the first round after they had an ungodly number of points. And now, since then, they're going to maybe win three in a row. Mm-hmm. Judley, Mr. Hockey, who really watches all this stuff very closely, thinks that they probably going to beat Colorado because they have better goaltending. Mm-hmm.
Because the Avs have Cooper. Don't they have Cooper?
Yeah, the Cooper.
Colorado.
Cooper, he was hurt for a while in the final.
Colorado's got the coveted rest, though.
Oh, they got the rest, man. They
9,
got the
10,
rest.
11 days before they play.
Wow. Again. And didn't they have rest last time, too?
Yes.
Yeah, so. But, it should be good. I mean, it should be pretty.
But this is later than usual, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, they're about two weeks later.
This is terrible.
They usually are done before the NBA, and they're just getting started, and the NBA has already played four games.
Right. And they don't play again until
tonight.
Tonight.
That's right.
It is funny how they, you know, they used to like covet Sunday nights. Mm-hmm. Now they'd rather play. They put the game off an extra day to play on Monday night. Hmm. Apparently, you can get more people watching TV.
But aren't their ratings just dreadful for the finals?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought I read that they were, down.
Did you watch any of this Watergate special that CNN's been running for 2 weeks? It's put together by John Dean, kind of a documentary.
Is it a rerun? I've watched something.
But prior to it last night was a documentary on this Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Why is he not in a padded cell somewhere?
I don't know, but you know who's... You know who's a big buddy of his now?
Who? The pillow guy?
Royce White.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah,
really?
Royce White, who's
White can't be taken seriously.
He's trying to become the Republican nominee to run against
Ilhan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he can't be taken seriously.
No, he's on Ali. But he also was big in the George Floyd protests, trying to lead marches and stuff. And then he decided, okay, this isn't going to get me any. So now he decided to become a right-wing crazy.
But Jones is nuts. Crazy.
Oh, yeah, he's insane as hell. He's, you know.
Now when that, who's the comedian Reeves who does, Will Sasso.
Yes.
I now know why his Alex Jones is so great. He starts off that comedic bit doing Alex Jones.
Oh, okay.
And I'm so unfamiliar with Alex Jones that I didn't know he was doing Alex Jones. Now after watching this thing, Will Sasso can do a great Alex Jones.
I love the crazy. My favorite part of the whole hearing, though, was the whole thing that came up during the hearing was the crazy chick from Missouri, Boebert.
Yeah,
is it Boebert?
Yeah,
she was saying where Nancy's movements were, revealing Nancy's movements because she wanted to protect. She wanted security officers to know where Nancy was headed, right?
Well, I need to preface this. Such, you do recall. So, Pat, Will Sasso does this bit. It's called The Fighter and the Kid. Mm-hmm. It's a podcast that he does with another comedian. They're hysterical. The problem is they're littered with profanity.
Okay.
I don't think the first part is. Well, never mind.
Pat, the reason
we wanted to hear him do the Alex Jones part.
Well, but what we also need to tell Pat is he also does an amazing Jesse. Will Sasso does.
I know. I think I'd heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you, this is.
I'll start listening to it in queue and see if there's any profanity. How's that sound?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know. One of the few, the Hubbard podcasts are some of the few in America that don't use profanity, right?
I'm aware of.
They're extremely popular.
We're even now trying not to use it during breaks.
We made her about 13 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, be not during breaks because it might be picked up somehow?
No, it's because ultimately this whole thing's going to be on YouTube.
Right.
And so we've been practicing not being too foul.
But if it's on YouTube, do they know what you're saying during the breaks?
The management team would prefer that if people were subscribing to the Garage Logic, you know, full-length YouTube video.
But you still got to silence it during the breaks.
No, as we take the break, the viewer stays with us and listens to us during the break.
Oh, well,
that's what they're signing up for.
So we're
practicing.
We're practicing.
You know who needs practice? You know, me for the Friday. That solves it. I'll never come in here on Friday again, right?
Right.
I never.
How'd Pat lose his newspaper gig? Well, he came in on a Friday.
You have a really disappointing update on the Game of Floss.
Oh,
God Almighty.
God Almighty is right. This started.
Uh-oh.
You know, it really kind of traces back to when our lawnmower people didn't show up, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So we were enjoying the no mow May.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't intend to.
Right.
But there could have been families of large animals living out in this grass.
In fact, you were the trendsetter that started No Mow June.
No June. It was, but anyway, what set her off?
I remember what it was. You had someone was coming, and he was going to cut your lawn twice because they weren't able to accommodate your initial request. I believe that's what happened.
Anyway, what happened? But what I told you guys is, the last 3 or 4 days, the Game of Flaws has been upgraded to anticipation of your flaws.
Right. Future flaws.
It's become.
They haven't even committed yet.
You haven't even committed yet. You might have no intentions to commit it, but you know.
Mm-hmm.
Deep in her heart, she knows you want to do this, or you're going to screw this up. And I think it was triggered kind of. She drives me nuts when we go to a restaurant because she says, put your credit card away before you sign the bill. You know, put your credit card away. Put it away. I said, I haven't I said, I haven't left one in a restaurant in 3 years. Right. Okay, shh. Be quiet. I won't. Please be quiet.
Please.
And that's exactly what you said.
It might have been a little more candid.
No, that's exactly what you said. Yeah. Please be quiet.
Yeah. So.
Not shut the. And please be quiet.
And sure as hell, we went to a place Thursday for lunch, and I left the credit card.
Oh, no.
In the thing.
Uh-oh.
So now that has given her on this righteous stance of what an idiot I am. Oh. And it's now carried over to virtually everything
right. In
life that is, I don't know. It's just...
Future flaws.
Mm-hmm. I can always tell how things are going by how much TV we watch in the same room.
Yeah.
You know, there was about 3 days there with... she stuck to the Kardashians, and I said, we usually find a compromise show to watch for an hour or two, but...
Well, Kenny and his roommate, they watch the same show in different rooms.
Do they?
Yeah.
Yep.
And they text each other.
What'd you think of that one?
Yeah.
That just makes things...
He says that's the cure to happiness in a marriage, spend less time with each other.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. Oh, here was the one.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I get I could make the long walk over to the mailbox. It's probably 100 feet,
right.
up there, street. But usually I come in and take a whip around in the cul-de-sac.
Right.
And grab it on the way back, just pull up there in the curb and grab it on the way back. And I'm doing that, and one of the neighbor gals up in the cul-de-sac is there. So we say hello, and the top's down, so they start chatting it up.
Mm-hmm.
So after about 8 minutes, I put her in. They're still talking. I put her in drive, and I'm and so the other gal says, oh, so we're finished?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
we did this yesterday. I am. So she gets out of the car. Katie gets out of the car to continue the conversation.
Right.
But it was a great humiliation
to
her that I wouldn't sit there and hear him talk about.
Okay, what I want to know is, you mean to tell me your mailbox is not at your house?
No, it's up there. We got, they drop them off.
I wonder why that is.
Mine's the same way.
Huh.
It's in a bank of six.
Right.
On the other side
Harold
of the street.
Across, mine is right next to Harold's, and it's up in the cul-de-sac. So it's, we don't have mailboxes on our side of the street because they
got them. Let me ask you some. When you got the house, did it have a mail slot?
No, it doesn't have a mail slot.
Really?
No. They do the whip around in the cul-de-sac.
I'll be damned.
I haven't had a mail slot in any home I've owned.
I've never had one that didn't.
Hmm. Call me now.
Yeah. How do you get your mail?
Yeah, that's a good... Call me now and tell us about your mail. Joe and I still get mail, okay?
So, Patrick, you're very familiar with the scene of amateur baseball.
Yes, I am.
Joe, you're going to love this. Yesterday, we are taking on the Lonsdale Aces at their ballpark.
All right.
And
are they the Aces?
Yeah, they are the Aces.
Locate this for me. Where's Lonsdale?
She's down by New Prague.
Due west of the Big Steer on 19.
Okay.
From 35. You take 35 south where the Big Steer exit is.
I'm not sure I've seen the Big Steer.
Okay, man. Anyway,
whatever.
Yeah, Jim Pat said just south of New Prague.
Yeah.
In any event, so the bride says...
19, isn't that where you take into Northfield?
Correct.
Yeah, yes. Okay, I know where that is.
But you go the other direction.
But you go the other direction.
Right.
So anyway, she says, oh, it's going to be a nice day. Why don't the boys and I join you for the ball game?
Okay.
I said, oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah. Boys come out on the field. Well, they have a deal there in Lonsdale where kids retrieve foul balls, they get 50 cents.
Whoa,
for
boy.
For a foul ball.
50 cents. Not
Shades
the quarter,
of Max Moloch down at St. Mary's.
Yes, right.
Find that ball.
So now you've got my two boys, the pitching preacher's son, working it.
Yep.
So they know, okay, left-handed hitter's up.
Yeah.
Foul balls are going to be on the third base side. Mm-hmm. Right-handed hitter's up, another shift. So they got a program
down. Are they all about the same age?
Yes, they're all about the same age. And so when they...
But they're not a team.
Kind of. They're still fighting for the ball, but they want one of those three to get it instead of one of the other kids to get it.
Okay.
So they bring the ball up to the concession stand, and here's where the scam takes place.
Yeah.
Well, here, kid, here's 50 cents or... here's some candy.
Oh.
Or if they brought two, oh, you guys could each get a soda pop.
Yeah.
They had so much bleeping sugar at this game yesterday. And Jess was just...
They didn't go for the cash then. Huh?
Oh, God, no. It was all candy all the time, to the point where my wife was sitting on the side, you know, sitting in the sun, watching the game, chatting it up with all the other wives and girlfriends. And she says, how much candy have you guys had? And they kind of all looked, and he had a pocket full of empty wrappers.
Really?
And they each had about three empty soda cans on them.
Wow.
Needless to say, they went to bed at about 3 o'clock in the morning today.
They should have played a ball game. We had the kids in the suite Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And among the, you know, in the suite, they had like a dish of M&Ms, a dish of whatever these... things that are rubbery, what
like the hot kids, tamales or the Mike the and kids, Ike's?
No, the chewy ones.
Oh, the gummy worms and
gummy
stuff.
Gummy worms.
Yeah.
They had four of them, and then they got the one kid, Hugh, man. Hugh's young. And you turn around, and one time, Hugh's got the whole dish of M&Ms in front of him, and the next time, he's got the whole dish of gummy bears in front of him. And the next time, and then the next time, nobody can find him, and he's down trying to get in the elevator and leave, you know, and he's about three or something, three or four. Kids, they don't have a good attention span at a ball game, you know? They do not have a good attention
span. They want to eat candy, and they want to chase after foul balls.
Yes, that's true. That is true. I was telling Judd the great story today about my old man's, which I've told you before, about when he advertised the mosquito-free ballpark. Mm-hmm. 20, I don't know what it was, a $5 reward for every lie. There are mosquito-free Folda ballpark because somebody go around and spray. There were millions of them, you know.
Right.
But they had a little ad in the paper, $5 if you find a live mosquito.
Really?
Live mosquito.
Yeah.
And it's all my buddies, all the kids were running around grabbing live mosquitoes. And they'd come over and show them to my old man. And my old man would take them and say,
squish.
That's not alive.
That's not a live mosquito. And they'd come back to me and say, your dad's a liar and a cheat. I said, buyer beware. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? You know, nobody.
$5 for a live mosquito.
And he had mosquito mush all over him.
But the best part, he put an ad in the paper.
Yeah, ad in the paper to it because this was after TV had started.
Right.
So. People know they could stay home and watch a black and white TV and not get bit by mosquitoes and go to the ball game.
Right.
You had to have something to get them to go to the ball game. So he had to promise them there were no mosquitoes. So it's safe to come and pay 50 cents to go to the ball game and have a beer, you know. So, hey, have you been to Target Field as a fan yet?
I went the very first weekend against the M's. I went Saturday.
So what are they charging you for a beer?
I'm trying to remember. I remember buying myself a tall beer, and I got a mixed drink for her, and I believe it was $25, maybe a little bit more than 25.
Jed told me it was 16 for a Surly, but then Declan said it was 13.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What do you think it was?
I'm going to guess 13, 14 bucks, something like that.
You get a six-pack for 13 bucks.
Yeah, you can.
How can they, you know, boy, they're doing, you get everybody... You get some people to show up at the ballpark, and they get there on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. They drive in from Winnebago, and neither Buxton or Correa is playing. What the hell?
Go back to that Correa not coming out in the ninth.
I don't know.
To play defense. Was there ever a Rocco answer to that?
I don't know if anybody asked him.
Let me guess.
I was gone by then.
That was the plan.
Well, yeah, it was a scheduled day off.
Oh, for God's sake.
But,
I can't
do but they let Buxton pitch around in the top of the ninth.
Yep.
Oh, they did?
Yep.
Yes. But
I was in the process
but
of,
they
yeah,
didn't
I,
then put him in center field.
No, oh, you can't no, do
which,
that.
Which is...
That would have violated his day off.
Yeah. I was surprised. I don't know what it is. It's got to be coming from above. It can't be all Rocco, can it?
I don't know. I don't know the answer
to
that.
Did you see this week that when Griffin, because that dumbhead Miranda didn't charge the ball at first base, so Griffin Jacks, the Air Force Academy guy, has to run over there and dive at it and try to throw it, the pitcher, and then Miranda's not covering first anyway. Did you see that play?
No, I did not.
Well, he dives. And he gets up and he goes, here's what he does. He's got the right arm. He goes, You know, he goes like, I think that was his left. He went like, like a little, you know, like, okay, I got something
a
little
here.
Tight, a little tight here. Out of the dugout. Out of the dugout we come. And we're looking at, and the look of concern that Doc Rock had for Jax, I said, I compared it to a surgeon who has to tell the patient, it didn't go as well as we hoped, you know.
The surgery was unsuccessful,
yes, it
was,
which would be the first ever.
Yes, yeah, we tried to do it, you know. You know, it didn't go as well as we'd hoped.
Right now, but it's 57 and cloudy in Seattle.
Doc is, well, they got the roof, so they don't care.
Well, plus it's only 12:20.
That's Seattle, man. Yeah. Seattle is, they can get some beautiful days, but they can get that cloudy, gloomy stuff, too. So, anyhow, that's, what else we got? We got anything else?
We got to escape this noise is what we got to do.
Well, you know where you do that.
Where's that, Joe?
Giants Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And look at gas prices. You're going to be changing your plans this summer, I bet, and you might want to consider that.
I was going to drive to Cooperstown. Who the hell can afford
you
it?
You can't afford to drive to Cooperstown.
I'm going to go to Giants Ridge and watch it on TV.
You can afford to go to Giants Ridge, home of the Legend and the Quarry, two of the greatest values in Minnesota golf. And there's a special on right now through August 29th. Play the Legend and the Quarry on the same day with lunch on the club. And for one great fee, and that lunch would be at the Wakuta Grill. It has one of the finest and most peaceful overlooks in all of northern Minnesota. You can see these 3D course flyovers of the Legend and the Quarry at GiantsRidge.com. But if you're thinking of it as a family vacation destination, there's nearby water recreation, biking, hiking, the newest and largest lift-served mountain bike park in the Midwest, dining, lodging, and more, and it is quiet. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot in nature in northeast Minnesota, and it's not that far away given the fact that gas is now $5 a gallon. You might not want to be taking that trip to Yellowstone.
I know. That might not be the way to go.
You can book tee times online at GiantsRidge.com or by calling Giants Ridge at 218-865-8030.
Very good.
All right, I got two things.
Go ahead.
Hey, let me put in a plug for Brainerd this weekend.
That's right, yes.
Street Outlaws, Friday and Saturday.
Are you going, by the way?
I might run up there and see him practice Thursday.
Okay.
I don't know. BIRMN.com if you want to get tickets, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's still, I'm sure they got them. And the B, I sure wish I could remember what that was. It was really good. It was something very important. But it was, you know. Well, we'll think about it. We'll get her back to you.
I bet you'll come to that realization, and you're going to put it out on Twitter. Forgot to mention on MNST.
Yes, that would probably be it. But anyway, do that.
There we go.
This is a rare Monday Night Sports Talk, actually recorded on
Monday.
On a Monday.
Yes.
It is.
It's a new tradition.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you at the bank.
All right. Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. As you set out to explore Minnesota this summer, think about this. I didn't even know this. There are 234 cities in Minnesota with a population over 2,500, and the Canopy Group has clients in all but seven of those. Why is this fact important? Because the Canopy Group's experience in all those Minnesota cities gives them a unique edge in getting you the best home and auto insurance coverage at the best price. Remember, the Canopy Group offers 16 insurance companies for a reason. That's to match your specific situation for your area with the absolute best insurance company for you. This is done every year because your specific situation may change. This experience working throughout Minnesota provides thousands of Canopy Group clients the peace of mind that knowing that Canopy Group is working for them. Please visit thecanopygroup.com today. You've heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 40 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Roycey is a paid endorser.